Yesterday we started with the new year, the new you. The new year, the new you. And we started looking out for some basic nuggets of wisdom for the year that we are in. And it was said that many times people get into a new year with their old selves. So it's actually a new year, but they get right into the year with same old attitudes, same old habits, same understanding of life and issues that pertain life, the same level or a reduced level of knowledge concerning life and how to approach it. And we said that the moment we find this happening, it means that we are just going to have a repeated cyclical normal year. So paying close attention to it, there should be nothing actually different about the year, because the same old January is the same old January we had last year. February, March, November, December, same old months. However, what greatly determines what we or how best we're going to use the year depends on us. So until we start as a people to approach this differently, we're still going to get the same results and not have anything different happening. We also said yesterday that many people always end up blaming God because they have the same attitude or character. First is going to blame God. Say, God did this to me. Why did God allow this happen? How did God sit down and allow this happen? Well, if they get to realize, well, that blame is not too fair on God, they could just turn over to the next human being. And they'll say, it's because you didn't stand by me. That's how come this happened with me. Or that's how this thing happened to me. And so they begin to blame man, they begin to blame their wives, they begin to blame their husbands, they begin to blame their fathers. They throw out tantrums on governments and insulting presidential people just because they simply fail to look at the real issue. And then thirdly, we get to realize that they blame the devil. So if they blame God, they blame man, they blame the devil, the blame game is on. But they never get to blame themselves. Yesterday I was trying to help us see how we could see into ourselves, right? How we could see ourselves as very, you know, essential in whatever that happens around us. And I took time laying emphasis on a few number of things that I needed you to note and, you know, take heed of. There are many things that you could note and take heed of, but right now in my communication to you, as the Lord lays on my heart, is to touch on these important things, and it will open you up to many wondrous great things. Amen. So we said also yesterday that in the hardness of heart are the failures not coming of men, right? we said that there were three things that I was going to lay emphasis on for you to build on. And one of them, I said, was that we needed to pay attention to this, right? Hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. So I'm going to take time explaining to you what this means and how we can be not found having this attitude of being hard-hearted. All right? So many times people are thinking, you know, to be hard-hearted is to be an unbeliever. So maybe they go to preach to someone and they say, this person is so hard-hearted. And then you ask, why? Is it because he never listens to me, and when I preach the gospel to him, his heart is very hard? And as good as this is, we're going to spend time looking at this particular attitude as part of the three that I will be explaining on things that you should not have in the year. Amen. Mark chapter 6 verse 35. Mark chapter 6 verse 35. We're reading 35 to 44. I'll take that. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Verse 37, he answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Listen to what Jesus Christ is saying. If you have a physical Bible, you're going to see that it's painted in red. It means it's the words of Jesus. So Jesus is telling him, he says that, give ye them to eat. Now watch what the disciples say. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? So the disciples are asking, see, the money we have on us is 200 penny worth of bread. And we have quite a multitude of people sitting amongst us. What do we do? Verse 38, I love Jesus. He says, he said unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to the heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. So this is a wonderful miracle that just happens. And there are people worth 5,000 men, actually. That's only men. So it means that probably they could be 15,000, because women and children were not counted inclusive. And obviously populations of men would definitely be lower. So it could mean that they were close to 15,000 people right there in the place. And so Jesus has just multiplied bread. You know how many they were? They were 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. So here's Jesus performing a miracle, an outstanding miracle, something that hardly we even see in today. Right? Now pay close attention, verse 45. continue with the story. And straight away he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other sides before unto Bethsaida, while he went away the people, while he sent away the people. Verse 46, and when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when evening was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. Now, Jesus is quite hilarious, is that he sees the raging storms, the raging seas, winds are billowing, tempests are rising, you know, just an unconducive atmosphere. And look what he happens to. He starts to walk on the water. And Bible says that he would have passed them by. Now, that's interesting. It's almost like, you know, you know, having a sickness that's probably seas raging and tempests are rising, you know, and anchors failing to hold on the sea. And instead of Jesus coming to say, be healed, he actually walks on the sea and he is planning to walk past you. Now that's the scene, and that's how it happened. Verse 49, still continuing. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and he said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. Right? So this is Jesus walking on the sea. He walks past, or he's almost intending to walk past them while the storms are blowing, right? And they get to realize that this guy is not going to mind us, right? So they all saw him, they were troubled, you know, begin to shout. And then he's telling them, be of good cheer, it is I, be not be afraid. Verse 51, and he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed. They were sore amazed. They were sore amazed. You know, I'm just repeating it so you can get a picture of what is actually happening here. They were sore amazed. They were shocked that Jesus could actually be walking on the sea. I mean, they were blown out exceedingly. They were displaced, thrown out of their positions, astonished. Have you ever seen someone say, this is insane? That's what happens right there. They were all just thrown away. Now, the thing that interests me is this. So, verse 51 and 52. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. Verse 52. Look at what happens. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. For their heart was hardened. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves. For their heart was hardened. Now it's quite interesting to know that Jesus was not expecting them to be astonished that he could walk on the water. Now, these were people who had walked with him and had seen mighty miracles. But this is a case where the people are astonished that Jesus Christ was walking on the water. Now, Mark's account directly points to the fact that the reasons why they did not believe he could walk on the water was because their hearts were hardened. Now, why was their heart hardened? Because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. They did not realize they couldn't see is to take close attention, pay close attention. They could not bring together. It's like they had seen a miracle of loaves of bread multiplying for 5,000 people, and they could not correlate what had happened previously to what was happening presently. So, oftentimes, is, you're just hostile towards God. You really can't see him the way you should see him. Meaning that they were not supposed to be surprised to see that. And yet they were amazed. And he says, why were they amazed? Because they were hardened hearted. In this year, may you not see things and still be hard-hearted towards them. Now, you can tell this is plainly not speaking about rebellion. Aren't there sometimes when, have you remembered? I want to remind you, last 2 years, you thought, if I pray this prayer and God shows up for me in this situation, I will never doubt God ever in my life again. And then when you prayed, he showed up. Or something miraculous happened. Then the next time, you are quick to forget that God had already done something like that for you before. He says, you are not considering. You are hostile to. I remember times when I told God, God, if you do this thing for me, I'll never doubt you again. And then he does it. And another thing comes up and you're saying, Lord, if you do this for me, I'll never doubt you again. Well, in that same scene is hard-heartedness. Is that you're not considering another thing happens and then you're afraid. Another thing happens. You are thrown off your seat. You're saying, where's our God? Where's our God? No, but he had already proven himself to you long ago. I'm going to show you how hard-heartedness will affect many things that should happen rightly around you. So oftentimes, we might just be thinking, only those who are rebellious and who are unsaved are those who are going to be hard-hearted. But we see right there in Mark's account that they are not considering the miracle of the loaves. He says, for their heart was hardened. Sometimes you might even think hard-heartedness is someone when someone hates God. You say, the person really is hard-hearted. No, it's not. That's not it exactly. So he's saying that you disciples, if you guys are going to be shocked that Jesus Christ can walk on the water, and you could not consider the miracle of the loaves that he had done, your heart is hardened. So when we say you're hard-hearted, it means that you are relating with God more easily to natural things and in the natural realm. You relate with God more in the natural than in the supernatural. You're moved by what you see. You're moved by situations. You're moved by things that you hear. Wasn't it you God healed? If he healed you, why can't he heal you again? Wasn't it you God provided for? If he provided for you, why can't he provide for you again? So you see, when we fail to consider, we're not considering. You know what it means to consider? It's to pay close identity. Like, you pay close attention to and you can identify. You can almost spot him in a place. So, they were tagged as hard-hearted because they were learning to relate with God on a more natural realm. So many times we can be hardened towards God and yet even be moral. I've never stole before. I've never sinned before. We just fail to recognize. So anytime you do not recognize something, God calls that nature of the heart hard-heartedness. God told us in his word to love. So we know it very well. We know it that God's word says love. But when we get into situations where love is needed to be practiced, then we intentionally turn up our eyes on them. So oftentimes people who are hard-hearted might not be people who are generally rebellious. It could be so. But I'm talking about the believer who knows what he has to do, yet still is being unproductive in what he has to do. Is a state of the heart. Is a state of the heart. Is a state of the heart. So when you fail to consider, when you don't see, you can't recognize, you can't pay attention to, you're hostile to. You can't comprehend. You can't put together. You can't put together the figures. Have you seen people where after you finish maybe a faith meeting or a teaching meeting on faith, and they just come and they tell someone that, oh, I'm sick, oh. And then the person says, but pastor told us this today, and so you are healed. And they say, you know, please, you don't know what is happening to me. I'm saying I'm sick. You are saying pastor preach faith today. Let's put the faith aside and let's face the reality. Let's face what is happening. You don't understand. You see, that's it. They're not considering what was shared. See that? They are hardened to it. They can't see that miracle. They can't practice and put together the word of God. And those are one of the people I don't like. I'm telling you. The moment I realize that about somebody, I start to stay away from you. It's like you place little priority on the power of God, on the flow of God, on things as touching faith. I don't listen to just anybody because they make sense. No, I don't. Because all of those things will come together to harden your heart. It means you really are not considering. Your heart is dull. So, when we talk about someone's heart who is hardened, I'm talking about the things that you should not have in this year. It's the word poro. It means, you see, you develop a certain kind of a thick skin. You develop a certain kind of a thick skin such that you are blinded and you are hardened. And the heart has some kind of, you know, slowness. You lose the power of understanding. Somebody is not going to have a hardened heart. Now, I'll show you something again. The disciples actually fall prey for this again. You see that? I remember praying for someone. And the person said, I prayed for someone as touching something. And the person came up to me and said, Pastor, please, you prayed for me concerning this. And I just believed that was what was going to happen. I knew it was going to happen. Because her heart was not hardened. And she believed quickly. Or you see someone say, oh, there's prayer and there's also a connection. There's prayer. You see, there's prayer. And there's also connection. So you let's pray the prayer, Pastor. And let's also work out the connection. You see that? That's a heart that is slow. Not really is dull. Now let me show you one interesting thing about hardness of heart. The disciples actually fell for it again. Mark chapter 8. Now, watch what happens. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, follow closely. I have compassion on the multitude because they have now been with me 3 days and have eaten nothing. If I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? They said, seven. How many loaves did he have previously in feeding the 5,000? They had five, right? So we're seeing another disparity between the two. Now follow closely. And his disciples answered him, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" See, they are failing the test again. He had just multiplied 5,000 men, and now there is probably 7 again, and the people are failing. Now I'm tempted to even think that the same accounts, but they were written, but this is actually the same Mark's account. So Mark is saying that, hey, there was a time where I could count 5 loaves of bread, and the 5 loaves of bread were multiplied for 5,000 people. Now there's another scene, he can have 7. Now his disciples, watch again verse 4, his disciples answered him, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" You see, but Jesus Christ is asking them again, and they are failing. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves, gave thanks, break it, gave to disciples, set before them, and they did set them before the people. And had a few small fishes. So you see that in the story, previous ones they had 2 fishes, this one they had few small fishes. So verse 8, they eat, they were filled, they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. So first, we're seeing 5,000 men. Now we're seeing 4,000. But his disciples are still asking him in verse 4, "Where can we satisfy, and how can we satisfy these things, these people with us?" So they already had known a miracle. They could tell you the facts of the miracle. They could tell you that, see, the last time we had 5, you gave us some more. Now we have 7. Now, isn't 7 supposed to be even much more than the 5 they had previously? Of course. But they still failed again. They were asking questions. How will you do it, Lord? How will you do it, Lord? In this year, do not be hostile to all that God's word says concerning you. Do not be hostile. Do not be hostile. Learn to recognize. Learn to see. Learn to be bold. And learn to act on his leading. Don't be hard-hearted in the things that he tells you to do, in the things that he shows you, in the things that he lays on your heart. Don't become slow at those things. Now, I'm teaching you how to have great, exciting levels of productivity in this year. So oftentimes, when a man's heart is hardened, it doesn't mean he doesn't know the truth. It just means that the truth, it doesn't really affect you. It doesn't really affect you. You know why? Many times in a worship meeting, you can see someone singing a song, and someone is so blessed by the song, and kneeling, and thanking God, and praising God, and exalting the name of God. And then you see another person who's just standing there, or another person who is just sitting down, and chewing their fingernails. Why? Because one, you know, there's a particular truth that affects one, and he responds. Now there's another, that truth does not affect him. So the disciples in Mark chapter 8, they can remember the facts, but those facts didn't influence their behavior. So it means their knowledge was unproductive. Matthew 28:16. Jesus tells us to go ye out into all nations, preaching the gospel. Right? Then you see somebody that's not even care. A hardened heart towards God's instructions. Full of unbelief. So you can remember the facts, but those facts should influence you. It should influence your behavior. You can remember the facts of God's word. Let the facts of God's word influence your behavior. Let it influence you. Let the realities of God's word have an influence, a positive influence in your life. Don't become too hardened that you can't recognize and you can't see and you're dull to realize what God is doing, what He's leading you to do, how He's leading you to do, what He wants you to do. You must be able to. So you can remember, you can even quote scriptures. But when we put that same temptation before you, like the disciples, you scream and you say, "Who is that? Is that a ghost?" But you should have known. So the knowledge that you have should be productive. Are you listening to me? The knowledge that you have, it must produce something. Must produce something. The little that you know, it has to produce something. Many times we don't even need to know much. We just need to believe much. As much as knowledge comes with, you know, great levels of faith. But oftentimes, that's why sometimes when you're explaining, I love explanations, but it's not all times you can explain. There are certain times the power of God will have to be introduced into a certain situation. Stop explaining. Get into using His power. Stop explaining. Get into speaking in tongues. That's when you make it productive. Stop explaining and start to actually do something. Do. Let's see something happening. See, the reason why I've not made disciples is because I've been busy. I don't even have time. You know, I've been moving here and there. And you know, I have now this. Please, you are explaining too much. We want to have that knowledge becoming productive in what you have to do. So your knowledge should be productive. If not, we can almost tell that there is some hardening over there. It's poro. Poro. Hardening. It's covered with thick skin. To grow hard is how the heart is. But there are people's hearts here who are softened. As flesh is one of the things that God is doing actually in the New Testament, is that He causes hearts to be soft as flesh, so that those hearts are going to respond impulsively to His word, to His instructions, to His commands, to his biddings. They are always going to be responding. A typical example in story was when the Israelites came up out of Egypt. You see, they saw great miraculous things. crossed the Red Seas. They saw the nine plagues of Egypt. You know, they had the pillar of fire cover them by night, a cloud by day. Yet two or three days later, they were asking God, can you provide a table in the wilderness? Can God feed all of us? I mean, do you know what it means to have a pillar of fire by night? And then a cloud by day walk with you? And yesterday they kept on asking him, can you give us food? Lord, can you do a miracle? It's because their hearts were hardened to the reality that God can. Listen, in this year, believe God. Are you listening? In this year, let everything that you do be centered on your absolute belief on God and His word for you. Don't allow anybody drag you alongside into their mud and dirty you and cause you to believe that, you know, things are not going well, things are hard, we are struggling, we are all going to struggle. In fact, we are all struggle. In fact, suffering is our name. As far as all we do is to just suffer. Please know, we believe God. We believe God. We believe God. So your heart is going to respond to God. Anything God, your heart should start responding to it. So many times, it's not that we don't know. It's that what we know, it does not produce anything. You say, quotes on healing. Say, quote me some. So you rattle Isaiah 53, verse 5. Matthew 8, 17. 1 Peter 2, 24. John 2. Say, Ajay, my back. What are all those scriptures doing? What are they doing? What are they doing? Ivan, Pusin, let's see. What are they doing? All those scriptures, you know. What are those scriptures doing? By stripes we are healed. No. One is enough. Once you know Isaiah 53, verse 5, let us begin to see produces. See that? More effects of those scriptures. Produces of those scriptures. Produces of those scriptures. Produces of those scriptures. So we know. First Peter chapter 2, verse 24. Who his own self bare sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. And when your stomach starts paining, get me. No. Some people like hospital. The least thing, take me to the hospital. I'm not against healing, and I'm not against hospital, and I'm not against doctors, but I'm for the power of God. I am for the power of God. I believe that God heals and God heals men. The power of God before anything else. The power of God before anything else. The power of God before anything else. I'm for the power of God. See, many things I tell you, I've lived in the realities of them. My life is a testimony that you can walk in the power of God. I'm telling you, sickness is very, very far away from me. I don't remember. So sometimes, honestly, sometimes I get shocked when I hear men of God say, I was sick. I get quiet and shocked. That does not mean sickness does not come to everybody. See, people get sick and, you know, get sick. But when you get sick, what do? Now, I'm speaking to you from a level, because there's another level where you don't actually get sick. Yes, you don't get sick. And when you get sick, what do? So many times, we think we know something, but we actually don't know it. Because if we truly, you see, one of the ways to measure if you really know something is that we can see effects of that thing happening in your life. So anytime you think you know something and you're not having the effects of it, sit down and really know it well. See that? Sit down and really know it. It means you don't really know it the way you think you know it. Because if you know it, you will start having effects of those things in your life. You see that? You start having effects. Effects. If there was anybody to get an ulceration, I should have had an ulcer. I'm not lying to you. I can't tell you how long I fasted. Maybe I'll tell you many years to come. I can't tell you how long. I can't tell you. I've heard some men go, I fasted this. And I said, but this thing is very small though. It's very small. I've heard great men go, this thing is very small. You see that? So, begin to walk in this reality. Do you understand? Begin to walk in it. Cherish it. We're not saying don't take medicines. Obviously, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that your first belief, while even you are on medications, it shouldn't even be on just the medication. All your mind is on the medication. Saying the medication, if the medication fails, that means that God, everything has failed. No, the power of God can work in that situation. God's power can work in that situation. So in the year, we don't know a lot. But the little that you know, start putting it to work. Are you listening? Start putting it to work. Start putting it to work. Some people think they need to learn more. If that is true, then that means that somebody who is born again should not get a miracle. In fact, many of the times, when you even know too much, when you know too much, you see that, when you know too much things that are not right, you tend to have lesser reproductive results in things that are actually right. So in this year, make sure your heart is not hardened to anything concerning God and His Word. Anything. And sometimes we are hardened in certain areas and softer in certain areas. It can happen. Maybe you are softer towards the supernatural and the flow. But you are hardened towards some other kind of aspect of the Word of God. It's like that side, it doesn't really move you. No, it's time to look around and to see where you must change and where you must become. Great men of faith, Smith Wigglesworth, John G. Lake, William Branham, they knew less of the Word of God than you know. Today you have Greek and Hebrew. You are flipping through Greek and Hebrew. Not to say Greek and Hebrew is wrong. That's not what I'm saying. insist on becoming productive with God's word. It was said that Smeagol's word spent, you know, the night with a man who had both legs amputated. You know, and as they talked about healing, Smith suddenly said that he should go buy some new pair of shoes in the morning. Then he went to bed. So as the man thought about it, he felt in his heart God tell him to do exactly as Smith Wigglesworth had told him to do. So first thing in the morning, he went down to the shoe store, asked for the clerk for a pair of shoes. The clerk said, "Oh, what size?" So the man asked for a pair of size 8 regular shoe in black, and he took them out of the box and he put one shoe on, you know, one knob of the leg, and a foot instantly grew out into the shoe. He put the other shoe on the other knob of the leg, and a foot instantly grew out of that shoe. Now, as interesting as that is, that man did not know as much as we know today. So, if what he knows is so much greater, or if what we know is so much greater, why don't we see those kind of miracles today? It's because of some kind of hard-heartedness. See that? That we're not quick to believe. We saw Jesus just multiply loaves of bread. The next time we see him walking on water, we did not consider the miracle of the multiplied loaves. These people are hard-hearted. They should have known it was easy for me to do. Another time there was an evangelist, great evangelist, T.L. Osborne. It was said that T.L. Osborne healed many more people than Jesus Christ himself in his ministration to mass meetings. Sometimes 100,000 people were healed in one night. There were times where he'll be preaching, he'll have to stop preaching and then call people out because the commotions were too much. And many times you hear some people, they have never heard of Jesus. The moment they believe in Jesus, and the preacher just says, "Jesus can heal you," you see that they are responding to it already, and they are getting healed. You see somebody in the church, who has been there and can explain exegesis, and yet still, he says his leg is paining him for 2 years now. Brethren, as I teach you this, I'm listening to myself. So that we all together, we will not be hard-hearted and not consider and not put together the things that have happened in our lives. And that's why it's so essential to be able to count your blessings one by one. Name them one by one. So count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Then it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. Someone, you couldn't pay school fees last year, but you don't know how the fees came. You wrote the exams. You completed. See, the same way you wrote the exams and completed is the same way God will provide for you to write the exams and complete. That's not time to worry. If not, that could be hard-heartedness. You quickly forget what God has done. So many times we do not consider. We're not considering. Yet, let me tell you something. The same T.L. Osborne, it was said that when he goes to minister in the United States, very little happens. He ministered in one satellite network, you know, they called it Robert Tilton's satellite network. You see, the service had over 2,000 people. And not more than 12 people were healed. Why? We oftentimes know these people now. They are trying to calculate a miracle. Someone is in the crowd and saying, these people are fraudsters. So in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22, I'll leave you with this last scripture. Proverbs chapter 20, 4 verse 20 to 22. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 to 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. It means keep seeing them. Keep seeing them. Incline your ears. So you're listening. You're seeing. And he says, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all flesh. So how you pay attention matters. He says, incline. 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 You know what it means to incline an ear? When you see a dog and it probably gets to hear a sound from somewhere, you see how the ears just stand up. It's a position. Is that make sure your ears are standing like that. Incline. Make sure it's right and uprightly in that position to listen. Keep them in front of your eyes. Watch what you watch. Because that's how your heart is going to be hardened. So watch what you hear. That's how hardness of heart often comes. So watch what you hear. Watch what you watch. Watch what you allow into your heart, obviously by what you see and what you hear. So incline your ears to the word of the Lord. Do not let those instructions depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. How you do that is by thinking continually on them. Pay attention. 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 And the interesting thing is that this is highly reversible. You can train your heart to become sensitive to God and hardened to the world. That's what I want to teach you. Lastly, before we go, is that you can train yourself to be attentive to God and hardened to the world. You see that? You see, when the world comes to tell you, hey, we have this. Oh, why we are doing this. Oh, we have this. Oh, we have this. You say, no, 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 no. That's not it. We can have it, but that's not it. We can have it, but that is not it. So you are hardened to the world and its demands. See that? You are hardened to sin. You are hardened to fornication. You are hardened to lusts and things of the flesh. You can train yourself. You can train your heart to repel these things. And you can train your heart to be soft towards the things of God. You do that. I'm telling you, many things that happen all around are just distractions. Many things, many things. Distractions in movies, distractions in whatever, songs, distractions. I mean, everything that's happening around are just distractions, well manipulated and set out distractions. And you can harden your heart to be insensitive towards these distractions. So what is it? You know, what are you doing? Say, I'm serving the Lord. I'm serving the Lord, eh? We don't know what is the Lord, oh. But we have a few deals here and we're making some good money and people are saying you are serving the Lord. Let me show you what is actually on top. Let me tell you one thing. You see, you leave the world to their folly and their foolishness. When you're not in a rat race with the things they are in a rat race with or in a rat race for, you leave them to their foolishness. Where they feel like everything outside, everything that happens is dependent on money. Let me tell you one thing. One of the fondest cautions that was impressed on me is to place a clear disparity between God and mammon. Because it is very subtle. It is very subtle. It is very subtle. It is very subtle. Before you realize, that has become your God. Before you realize, it is very subtle. So we place a line, a clear line, between God and mammon. Now, if we have money, of course we're going to use that. And we will have money. And so we're going to do that. But we are not going to be chasing after it and fighting for it. No, that's not something we're going to do. And if you are my disciple, you will learn to place a clear thin line between the heart for money and God. And God is not money. Let me tell you, God is not money. God is not money. When you have God, you may or may not have money, and it has nothing to do with God in a man's life. Are you listening to me? So you place a clear line and you say, I'm going to be hardened towards the love of money. I'm not talking about the quest to make money. I'm talking about the love of money. Many times, many people who are around me, and then they love the way they love God, and then they want to serve God, and they are all enthused about that. Because I've immunized you from many things that could be distractions for you. It's like you have become immune to them. Yes, you have become immune to them. Do you understand what I'm saying? You have become immune. Let me tell you, when you start to see things differently, you will start to approach it also differently. I'm telling you. Are you listening to me? When you start to see things differently, you start to approach things differently. You even start to approach the ministry differently. Yes. That's why I teach on messages like suffering. And many people don't like that message. Yeah, they don't like it because they don't see a need why they should suffer. They want to enjoy. But you sometimes and all times will not be enjoying. There are many things you have to suffer for. Yeah. Many people see me and they like certain things about me. You will not get it any different. There is something to do. Are you listening? You can't have the love for money in your heart and God also occupying the same spot in your heart. It can't happen. The poor we will always have amongst us. That's what Jesus told the disciples. You can't do away with poverty. Poverty is something that has already been there. It has already been there. Are you listening to what I'm telling you? You will always have the poor. That's what Jesus said to us. Or that's not what Jesus said. The poor, you always have them. Matthew 26:11. Let's start reading actually from verse 6 downwards to verse 12. Emphasis on verse 6. Yeah? Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. So the woman is actually pouring. But when his disciples saw this, they said, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? For this ornament might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Do you understand? It's like they are saying that, see, the money you are wasting on this Jesus, let us have this money and help the poor. Let's go out and be helpers of the poor. Many times what people actually need is not even money. Many times, it's just a few times that money actually helps. Are you listening to me? Take it from me. Many times what actually people really need is not money. Few times are when they actually need money and money actually changes their lives. Many times money doesn't change lives. What changes lives is the power of God's word dwelling in the hearts of men and burning in men's hearts. That's what actually changes lives. So many times what people need is not money. It's not money. It's not money. Catch a thief and he's going to steal. It's not money you give him for him to stop stealing. Many times they are things that force people into stealing. And it's a consistent life of stealing. And you give them, they will still steal. Few times. And oftentimes as the power of the gospel is preached, that's when true transformation comes in. The power of the gospel is what changes lives and what makes men better. Imagine if I were giving you money. You, just follow me. And I'm not teaching you the word of God. I'm not teaching you how to pray. I'm not teaching you how to flow in the spirit. I'm not teaching you how to. And I just said, take money. Every day, 100 cedis. You'll be far away in the world. Be far in the world. I'm telling you, pray, preach, evangelize. So they were telling Jesus that, see, this thing she's doing is a waste on you. Eh? Let's give it to the poor. Jesus understood. He said unto them, why trouble ye this woman? For she had wrought a good work upon me. For ye have the poor always with you. The poor, they are always going to have the poor with us. Every time, see, from one place, from Jesus' time, they were always poor people. Why didn't Jesus go around and he's sharing money to people? Hmm? And everywhere that he goes, he's doing good. And that good is well explained. He's doing a certain kind of good. He's healing the sick. He's setting them that are oppressed free. For God was with him. That's what the Bible calls good. Good. So he didn't have a foundation. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Foundation for no. He's doing good. And that good is that he's preaching and he's teaching and he's healing. I'm telling you, see, let me tell you something. Many times when a man is sick externally, there is always a disposition he has internally that predisposes him to that state externally. Don't lose sight and focus of what happens internally. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Yeah. So we stay in the basic preaching and teaching and healing and expressing God's love primarily. Don't chase after money. Don't set it before your eyes. I'm telling you, the reason why many of you are effective is because I've been able to pump these things into, I've pumped it in. It almost seems like you are becoming immune to these things. So listen to what I'm telling you and continue in that same step. Continue in that same step. So the poor, we will always have them. The poor, we will always have them with us. There will always be people who are poor. Are you listening? So our hearts are not going to be hardened to this. Our hearts are not going to be hardened to this. Our hearts are not going to be hardened to this. Our hearts are not going to be hardened to this. Our hearts are not going to be hardened to this. Our hearts are not going to be hardened to this. We're going to have softened hearts. Softened hearts. Many times the people who actually even like money never make money. That's the interesting thing. We like money, we love money, we're fooling money. It's not about God, it's not, oh, we love it. Oh, we. They don't really make money. I'm telling you. You, if you like, you follow money and see. If you are thinking about a few thousands, it's not really the problem. Are you listening? Keep it simple. Serve God. Do what He's asked you to do. Do what He's asked you to do. Don't worry about money. Don't worry about the poor. Do what He's asked you to do. You can help, you do. Even if you had money, you won't help everybody. So what I'm telling you is what I see. This thing can make me disciple somebody. This thing I'm talking about money, it can make me I can tell you that, see, I don't like what you are teaching the people you are teaching under me. I don't like it. Are we saying don't make money? That's not what we are saying. I'm saying that money does not become the central focus of whatever is happening. But the thing is that we're going to make money. Yes, we're going to make money. But that is not going to be the goal. Yeah. Not going to be the goal. So your heart is not going to be hardened. You're going to flow with this to understand it. And you're going to work hard. And you will keep yourself. Help those you can help. The goal is not to make money. It's not to make money. Are you listening to me? Okay. So, we have started on a very good note. And we thank God for what He's going to be doing in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, our time is up. And we are going to be continuing today. I'll just finish up on it. And then we'll talk about a few things. And then we'll get rolling into various activities that we have for the year. So I want to encourage you to serve the Lord and to continually do so. Serve the Lord and continually do so. Serve the Lord and continually do so. Please listen to me and what I tell you. Listen to me. You see, some of you are already being made into something beautiful. You see that? It's because you are listening to me. It's because you are listening to me. And oftentimes, many people don't know how you are being made. They don't know. You see, many people don't know how you are being made. But they don't know that it's the same things that you are taught is how you are being made. That's how you are being made. That's how you are being made. So, you listen to me and take what I'm telling you very seriously and believe in them. Believe in them and walk with them. Walk with them. Believe in them. Walk with them. Believe in them. Walk with them. Believe in them. Walk with them. Hold them. Esteem them. Let them be engraving in deepest parts of your hearts. In His name. Let them be engraved in deepest parts of your hearts. Yes. And that's how we will destroy darkness and destroy many things that the devil is hoping to establish here. Yes. You see, the devil comes to men. No? He comes to men. When he came to Jesus, you see what he tells him? He gives him enticing things. And these things are normal, natural things. They're normal, natural things. Say, look around. What do you see? I'll give all of these to you. Say, hey. No, you can't convince me. He always comes with natural. So, most of the times, we have to make sure that you are well armed when he comes. Because he's not going to come in the spirit. Because in the spirit, you have already defeated him. He knows that your weakness is in the natural. Weakness is in the natural. So be firm, be strong in the things I teach you. Listen to them and listen to them. And hold them dearly to your heart and walk in them. And when you are not too sure about something, ask again or listen to the teachings. And listen to the teachings. Listen to the teachings. and listen to them again and again and hold on to them. As we hold on to them and listen to them and say, this is what we have been taught, this is what we stick to, this is what we know, this is what we have been taught. Yes. Amen. How many of you have realized that the Lord supplies your needs even when they are not your problems? It's like the more you are not even worried about it, the more it's like He just slips it in there. He just slips it in. And it's not to worry about it. It's not to worry about it. It's just to go about doing what He has asked you to do. Are you listening? Yes. So, we'll just walk with God. Love God. Serve God. In the best way that we can.